One of the things I learned and that I'm still learning is surrender and just releasing control over many things, over time that things might take or over the way that things might be perceived. I don't know if it's because I am naturally a more introverted person, or maybe it's my like Mercury in Virgo, just wanting things to be certain way, like the way that I describe myself, that I think the process of releasing work on a larger scale, I have had lots of bouts of anxiety around it. And I think that it's felt really nice to be closer to a space where I'm like, well, that's what it is. It's meant to be what it is, and it's going to teach me something. Like if I got something a little wrong that I said, it's just going to give me some information for how I want to do something different in the future. And it's just releasing pressure on myself to like get everything perfect all the time.
That was Jamila Woods, and this is Shiros, a podcast with a mission to turn up the volume of women's voices in music across genres and generations. I'm Carmel Holt, and what you're about to hear is a previously aired interview from my syndicated public radio show, Shiros Radio. Shiros is a deep dive into the experiences and perspectives of women and gender expansive folks in a still overwhelmingly male-dominated music industry. It's a space where we discuss challenges and triumphs, how far we've come, and how far we still have to go. Telling our stories is the first step to making music better for everyone. The human body is made of an average of 60% water. Of all of our organs, the brain and the heart are the two that contain the most water, up to 85%. We know that thoughts and emotions can flow or flood us. And what does this say about love? On her third album, Water Made Us, the artist, poet, singer, and musician Jamila Woods investigates the patterns and pathways of her own relationships and some of the universally familiar phases of how we fall in and out of love, heal, and grow. A native of Chicago, Jamila was surrounded by music at home and sang in her church choir. After graduating from university, where she studied theater and performance, she formed a musical duo called Milo and Otis, who put out two albums in 2012 and 2014 before disbanding. 2012 also saw Jamila publish her first chapbook, and the community of poetry slams became a key to finding and sharing her voice. She became the associate artistic director of Young Chicago Authors and helped to organize the renowned Louder Than a Bomb Poetry Slam Festival, all the while staying connected to music and collaborating with artists like Chance the Rapper and Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. Then in 2016, Jamila released her solo debut, Heaven, which led to her record deal with Jack Jaguar, who re-released the album in 2017, followed by her critically hailed second album, Legacy Legacy, in 2019. The pandemic years gave Jamila time to look inward and dive into the deep waters of relationships as source material for her most vulnerable and most collaborative album to date. We celebrate the release of Water Made Us and welcome Jamila Woods as this week's Shiro in the Spotlight. Jamila Woods, welcome to Shiros. Welcome back, I should say. So great to see you. Thank you for being here, making the time.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here and talk to you again.
If you don't mind sharing with us, how are you feeling right now? What's the level of anticipation?
Oh, I'm very excited for it to be out. We've done a couple like smaller listening events in New York, Chicago, and LA. So it's been nice to share it in this kind of intimate way before the big way. And yeah, I'm also looking forward to just resting because it's an eclipse going to be happening. And it's just been a lot of work to get to this point. And I'm grateful for the busyness, but I'm also like ready for the post-busyness.
Totally. And because we're both astro geeks, we can talk a little bit about some of the stuff. Like, I have to wonder, was this something that you planned accordingly with eclipse season? Because it feels like how perfect to release, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes and no, because I had so many original due dates for this album that were way earlier, like maybe end of last year, early this year. And then things kept taking longer and longer. So eventually, I knew that it was going to come out in the fall, and I did work with my friend Akenya, who's an astrologer and artist, to pick the best day the label gave me. One of them was my birthday, and I was like, no, because I hate putting out stuff on my birthday. And then the other options, like this one, she was like, this eclipse is very intense. You might be feeling a lot of things personally, but for your album, like if you think of it as the birth chart of your album, other artists have put out projects on this very eclipse. and they have been like pivotal for them. And it's like really kind of been a turning point for their careers. And so it could be a very potent day. So I was like, that sounds good.
Totally. That makes sense. And also this time is, sorry, listeners, if you're not an astro geek,
you're just
along for the ride. Okay. But like, there's so much up right now around relationships. That's this album. Mm. It's relationships. It's a whole cycle of relationships. And I don't want to tell the story for you, but I thought that maybe I would just kind of like tee that up and let you go.
Yeah.
So can you take us through the conceptual arc of the album, thematic arc of the album?
Yes, that's so true. I really do think of it as a cycle of songs around the life cycle, the phases of a relationship, like the phases of a moon. I think the catalyst conversation that me and my co-executive producer, McClenny, had was like this day where I showed him this note in my phone where I was trying to name all the phases and stages of a relationship that I feel like I go through. Like I have like a quiet, obsessive crush phase. And then I have like, okay, now we're talking phase. And then it's like the ambivalence creeps in. Like, oh, do I have like the ick on some things? Do I really like this person? And then like first conflict, like all of the very specific to me patterns that I have. And he was like, oh, it'd be so cool if we create songs to go with each of those phases and kind of feel like the album is taking you through that life cycle. And so that's exactly what we did. And I had a collection of songs already. So it was kind of like, okay, this is talking about this stage. This is talking about the breakup. This is talking about the stage after that where you're opening yourself up again. And then we just filled in the gaps from there. And we really also wanted to create an album that had room for the variety of sounds that I had kind of already started to play with. And so, yeah, that was kind of the beginning. And I think through it, it really became a practice of finding language, creating, you know, a lexicon for these very particular feelings and emotions that I've had in relationships and making meaning out of those things.
And for listeners that may not have been along for the ride since Heaven in 2016, let's call that the beginning as far as you and your solo work, although there was stuff before that with Milo and Otis. But with Heaven in 2016 and then Legacy in 2019, there was stuff in there, obviously, that was personal and meaningful to you, but this feels like you, unguarded, way more open without layers between us. Is that right at all?
No, that's very true. I really think of Heaven as it felt like going from being in a duo band where at least I was always conscious that I'm writing, but I'm representing the duo to like, now I'm just, you know, writing whatever I want. And it was a lot of looking at poems I had written and making them songs. And, you know, that was about Chicago, about my own experience as a Black femme person growing up, introverted, all sorts of things. And then going into a more public sphere with my music, you know, I put that album out and then I re-released it. So that's like a double press cycle for an album. And I found talking about myself and seeing myself become this more public entity, I struggled with that a lot. And I think I went to like looking at interviews and listening to people that I admire talk about themselves and talk about their art. And that's kind of how Legacy was born, where I'm naming songs after these heroes of mine that I have and kind of inhabiting them and using their ideas as a lens to talk about myself, but with this protective shield layer, like you mentioned, the guardedness. That was a really beautiful practice that I think really like emboldened me. And I remember beginning of 2019, I had just gone through a really bad breakup and I was like, damn, like I should have wrote like a breakup album. I wrote all these really like powerful songs, and it actually ended up being the perfect music to like then go on tour and kind of feel like a badass just being poured into by all of those spirits of those people and the work of those people. And so I think that I entered the quarantine in that place where I was like, okay, like I'm just me. That's who I am. And I had a lot of time to, you know, reflect on past relationships. I had a lot of time to do consistent therapy and dig into astrology and dig into tarot practice. So it kind of just allowed me to look at myself head on. I think each album has set me up for the next one in ways that I didn't even expect. And so, yeah, I do think that I was able to have a different level of freedom with this one, because I don't know, at least for me, there was a lot of like I don't know if you can say F it, but just like,
definitely,
whatever, like,
please, the fuck please it. Do.
Like, the world could literally end. Like, what am I like trying to choose the really right word, or like, you know, protect this or that? Boundaries are so important, and I'm always learning that. But I think it's also important to say what you feel and then say it again the next day if it changes. So creating this in that spirit very much.
Jameela Woods is here with us on Shiro's. The new album is Water Made Us. Let's go to music here. I was thinking about this before I got on the line with you today. I was like, okay, are we going to do this in order? Since this is intentional in terms of how this is sequenced, I don't want to mess with it.
I mean, you can flow however you want because it's, you know.
Well, I like that idea, though. Maybe people haven't gotten a chance yet to really spend time with all 17 tracks of the album in its sequence. So why don't we start somewhere in the beginning? Like, where should we start? You pick.
Yeah, I think Bugs is a great place to start. Bugs is kind of about that ambivalent feeling of, do I like you or am I kind of annoyed by you? And, you know, there's this kind of idea in finding a partner, you know, I would extrapolate that moment out. Like, but what if this is every day? Like, every day for the rest of my life, I'm with it. Just like, is this going to work? Like, if we're having a kid, if we're having a family, if we're moving, you know, like, just like doing a lot in the future. And so I think the song is an invitation to just be in the moment and just notice how you feel in a moment and how much information you're learning about what you like and what you don't like. And the person and the relationship doesn't have to be perfect in order to be such a valuable experience and, you know, have so much to teach us about our needs and how we love. And so I think that's a good place to start.
Someone will break your tiny little rules. Chew too loud, talk too much. Someone will jump fully clothed into the moat you dug outside. It's not that deep. Lower the stakes of your love. Why so much pressure? Why not have pleasure on your way to the one, or the second one, or the third? Love is the warmest weather. Why not open the windows? Feel the sun on your skin. Don't kill this love. Slide a little paper under the glass. Let a few bugs live. It bugs me, but I do it for you. It bugs me, but I do it for you. It bugs me, but I do it for you. It bugs me, but I do.
Bugs kicks off Jameela Woods' new album, Water Made Us. It's her third solo release, and she's our guest on Shiro's. I'm Carmel Holt. So we were talking about basically the beginning of a relationship and how this album traces it. There was something in your PR that got sent to me. I don't know if these are your words or theirs, but it was so poignant where it said the universal becomes personal and the personal becomes universal in this new record. You know, when we first got on the line today, I said, thanks for making me cry again. Who can't relate to these things? I don't want to take anything away from you and your experience and like the hard work you've done to trace your relationship patterns. We're two very different people, different ages, different experiences. And yet here I was like in the car, like, oh my God, I know.
Yes. I love a good ugly cry. Oh, wow. Yeah, there's so much. I think that one thing that was coming up for me when I started writing these songs was it felt so like reading my journal out loud. I was like, is this okay? Like, is this too much? Or also like, does anyone care about this? Is this very just like selfie self, too much self? But like one of the astrology readings that I had, she was basically saying like, you're really concerned with the truth and like saying the exact right thing. And that might not be so useful for you right now. Like just let whatever comes through come and don't worry about, was it true for you specifically? But like, does it just feel right? And also Bell Hooks passed during this process, which the resurgence of her work and people sharing what her work meant for them was also just an affirmation that like this topic isn't just a light, fluffy, you know, oh, you know, it's not just cute. It's actually at the root of everything and at the root of so many movements. You know, my astrologer was sharing, there's people who lead movements who go home to their house and aren't kind to their partner or have bad dynamics in their home. And so like, it's important to talk about these things because the inner world is also the outer world. The personal is the universal. And so to look inward is also a gift to your community, the people who love you.
So true. You know, the other thing that I think immediately drew me to you was this very present voice of Black feminism and feminine power in this particular context where you're being so vulnerable and talking about love. When we put it into that frame, your feminist streak, your beliefs about feminine power and our roles also in love and in relationships, is there any of that that found its way into this collection?
I definitely think so. I think one thing that I came away from Legacy with was there was strong feminine energy and strong masculine energy. And, you know, we all have a mixture of both. And I think the album helped me get more into my masculine energy, into my, no, this is what it is. This is what I'm doing. You know, Muddy Miles, boom, you know, was able to inhabit my power in that way a bit more. And I think that from that place, kind of looking back at patterns in my relationship, there is like a pattern that I can see in my elders or just relationships that I have witnessed around me growing up and presently, where Black women hold a lot of space and also can hold a lot of space for Black men in particular, but everyone, anyone around, but can receive the brunt of the violence or the systems of oppression that are weighing down the entire community. And Black women are the, like the support legs of that community often. And so I think I was really thinking about that, watching the conversation between Nikki Giovanni and James Baldwin. They talked about so many things, but specifically around relationships and the way that Nikki Giovanni was kind of challenging James Baldwin to say, like, why can't, you know, a Black man come home and choose to be conscious of the energy that they're bringing? Just how you would go to work and you wouldn't go to work and, you know, start yelling at your boss. You wouldn't come home and just because you're stressed out, start yelling at your partner. And so that really resonated with me in terms of the way that I think I've experienced learning how to have a container for your own emotions and learning how to, you know, say, oh, that's not mine to hold at the same time. So yeah, I think as feminine people, we're kind of taught to hold that space for other people. And it's been powerful for me to learn how to recognize what's mine to hold and what's not. Yeah. And to also do it from a compassionate place of like, I know that you actually aren't angry with me in this moment. And so I have compassion for, you know, what you've experienced and your valid anger. But also I have a boundary on not letting that be mine to hold.
You're talking about embodying more of your masculine energy or tapping into that during the Legacy project and channeling that. How do you think that that has found its way into your approach with producing and making your music and holding space in that context too? Mm. Because that's a whole other layer in terms of like relationship dynamics when it comes to making your art and getting it out there and working within the systems that exist that are definitely not stacked up in our favor.
Yeah.
All the time.
I know that I was very intentional and that I made a lot of songs with a lot of different producers. And, you know, sometimes they're very talented, but we didn't necessarily lock in or have a vibe. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, the people that I just instantly felt very comfortable with, kept making with them, kept, you know, creating all while collecting this batch of songs and not wanting to necessarily partner with anyone right away because I wanted to kind of get an idea of what I wanted first. And I think when I was starting out, you know, I was used to also being in a duo band. So I think I was always like, okay, let me find someone who really knows what they're doing on the production side. And, you know, we do it together, like almost like because I didn't fully trust that I could do it on my own. And with this one, I remember Layla Hathaway, so sweet. Like she had a conversation with me one day because I was just like, I'm seeking mentorship or just guidance in this area. And she was just affirming me like production isn't just the programming or, you know, the playing of the instrument. It's like the visioning of the song, the visioning of the project. So you already know how to do that. So don't think that you need someone else to do that, but you can find people to, you know, work with you and support you. And so when I connected with McClenny, our connection was just super organic. We met on Zoom for the first several sessions because it was in lockdown. And I think that created a space that was really easy to talk and get to know each other. It's easier to talk on Zoom than make a song on Zoom. But we also did that. And then we met in person. And I think he's was just really down to support whatever vision I had. And he's brilliant and just so kind. And we got along really well. So it just made sense at that point to do that together. And I'm really grateful for the time that I took to kind of hold it to myself and for the intention that we put into creating it together.
Amazing. How did you connect with McClenny and how did you make that choice? Because it is such a vulnerable collection. I would think it'd be very important that whoever your collaborators are, you have to feel comfortable and safe.
Yeah, we connected. We share a similar person on our team, our publisher. And I was just looking for more producers. And he's recommended me many people before. But in the email, he wrote, McClenny, he's a really nice person. Like, he made a point to say that. And I was like, oh, he doesn't usually add in commentary. So I was really excited to meet him. And he was right. He's just such a great, really nice person and so easy to work with. We both have a lot of Virgo energy. So we both care a lot about like the structure of things. And I think coming from my last project where there was a very clear structure, prompt, concept. This one, there was a longer wandering period where I was like, what is this? Like, what am I saying? What's the story? I'm craving that. And he really helped me, you know, solidify that. And together we, I think, you know, like you said, the order is so important. And I think that like is a crucial part of the project that we were able to kind of crack together.
Amazing. Do you want to pick a track next that exemplifies your dynamic together? Mm-hmm. Or like when you think of it, you're like, I couldn't have done that without him.
Yes, yes. Okay. Send a Dove is a great example of that because the other thing was, I mean, before it was the pandemic, my dream was to just bring all of my favorite producers in like a house and like have us all like do stuff together. But still, even without having that, I wanted it to feel like, you know, the other producers I worked with still were working on the songs with us. You know, if there were songs that someone else made and it was just done, then it was just done. We don't have to like manipulate everything. And so I think Send a Dove I made with Peter Cottontail, who is from Chicago, who's been on every one of my projects. And it was an amazing song. And then I was playing it for McClenny. And then we just broke into conversation around the Nikki Giovanni topic and just generational things that we learn in looking at how our parents' relationships and patterns that we pick up. And he was kind of like, what if we just broke open the song and just like kind of talk about that more? So we created this whole other section of the song that gets really quiet and is kind of like my internal thinking while the external scene of like the argument is going on. So that feels like it wouldn't have happened without those collaborations.
You come on when I catch hell, because I love you. I get least of you. I get the very minimum. And I'm saying, you know, fake it with me.
Don't raise your voice at me. I'll flinch like it's a fist. You run so quick to rage, you know I hate to feel it. I'm sorry I couldn't see the little boy trapped underneath. You were drowning every time you sent the flood. But don't save your words for me. I'm not your leather everlast. Open your hands, we both have some scars to heal. Lie to me.
Send a Dove, which is track 5 on Water Made Us by Jameela Woods. She's our guest today on Shiro's, and I'm Carmel Holt. We're talking about relationships and this vulnerable collection that Jameela put together with the help of McClenny and couldn't have done that song without. That was an example of that. And You also mentioned Peter Cottontail and how Peter Cottontail's been part of every project that you've done. And it's been so fun also to find threads like that through your records in terms of your collaborators, in terms of your poetry always being present and the little skits or voice memos that show up in between. You're just such a natural researcher. You have a high level of curiosity, and that curiosity extends into the people that are close to you. Like your family has been a thread here too. Can you talk to us a little bit about that aspect of your work and how that found its way into this body of work as well?
Yeah, I was just reflecting on my love of crate digging, researching. I like how you call it like a high curiosity. I took a class in college that was called Research to Performance Method Playwriting. And it was basically just pick a topic that interests you and write a play about it. And I remember I chose homophobia in the Black church and I wrote a play about it. And then it ended up getting produced. And the process of, like, I guess alchemy, you know, like transforming some type of content into another form is just so exciting to me. And I was just like tracing back to that moment, like, oh, maybe that was the first time like I really realized I love doing this and it feels like it comes very naturally to me and I want to keep doing it in some way forever. And I think that that's still at play on this album, even if it's not as explicit as titling the song after the person that I really dug into. I think that the material now is like wisdom from my therapist and, you know, wisdom from tarot and wisdom from thinkers. Like there's a lot of Abraham Hicks that my friend Krista and Fati, we would send each other these things that we heard. And it's wisdom from my friends. You know, we were voice memoing back and forth all through the quarantine. And I just wanted to still incorporate those things, but in a way that, like, you know, water is just kind of in the water. It doesn't have to be named, but it's definitely at the root of all of these songs.
Oh, that makes so much sense. And actually, that's such a deep spiritual practice to look at the self behind the self, doing research and digging and like, who knows what you're going to find? And sometimes the thing that you find isn't even yours. You know, it's like something inherited or something that you picked up from a friend of yours that you absorbed, you know? So in some ways, I think that if you're a natural researcher, that skill, I'm just thinking out loud right now and riffing. It's like that kind of comes in handy when you're somebody that has that, you know,
has that
inclination.
I think one of the things I was thinking about a lot, I did a breathwork course that gave me a lot of insight in how I relate to my emotions. And there's like the emotion itself, like anger. And then there's the emotion about the emotion, like, oh, I'm frustrated that I feel angry. I wish I could just be chill, you know? And it's that second layer that often is like the more problematic layer to me. And so I think that's so true about like, if I can just be curious, oh, why is this anger coming up as opposed to resisting it and trying to stifle it, then the anger can actually flow through and probably pass along. And so, yeah, I think that's such an important lesson that I keep learning.
More water. Right? Back to water made us. When we were talking about that researching and the voice memos from friends and stuff, it made me curious also about the process of writing these songs. Was it an insular process? How much did you share with others along the way before it actually became a thing?
Well, it was kind of nice that I did have so many producers that I worked with, because there was kind of a way where, you know, like Alicia Benveniste, like we made Bugs together. That's the only song on the record we made together, but I played her everything that I had and got her opinion on it. And that was so crucial. And same with Wynn Bennett, Peter Cottontail, Itai or Biako, and Peter also, like I had these little listening parties with each producer and they're like giving me feedback along the way. And I also have a poetry collective called Dark Noise, and Fatih, who is on the Best Thing interlude, is a part of that, one of my closest friends. And they were also listening to, even before I knew it was getting to be the album, just the songs I was creating. I was just trying to make as many songs as I could. And they helped me identify like the favorites that I ended up taking to McClenny. So yes, there's always these ways, maybe because I come from poetry and I'm used to like a workshop space or like getting critique. Like I really do crave that as a part of my process. And maybe that's also why I like doing like listening parties before the big release. Just feels so helpful to be able to share and get reflections back during the process. So it doesn't ever feel like I'm in a vacuum, even if I'm writing about very personal things.
When I talked to you last time in 2021, one of the things you said you were working on was practicing your guitar more. Mm. I combed through the credits and I was like, did she do it? Did she play more guitar on this record?
Man, that's so nice to know I was saying that then. I'm still saying it. But there is a lot of guitar on the album.
I noticed and I didn't know. I was like, who is this? Is this her by any chance?
Yeah. And it is my intention is to be able to play on tour. And part of the wisdom of being a creator is knowing when someone can do the thing the best. And so I wasn't that person for this time, but maybe in the future.
We have Jameela Woods with us on Shiro's. The new album is Water Made Us. Gosh, where do we go next? What would you like to play? I'm going to throw this one over to you.
I think Wreckage Room would be nice. It's like a different space. And part of my process with this album, I did a lot of visioning and just like free writing on a song about this, a song that's like this. And I had written in my journal, like, I want to write a song that feels like the space below crying. When you're so down, it's like you're in a whole other physical realm. And so that's kind of where the idea of this song came from. And I had heard this Bjork song called Unravel. And it just reminded me of that feeling. The lyrics are very economical. There's not very many different words. It's a lot of repetition, but they're so potent. And so I was like, okay, Peter, I want to write a dirge for a relationship. And then that's how this song was born. And it was Peter Cottontail and Julian Davis Reed and my sisters singing with me at the end.
Hello from the wreckage room. You couldn't find me under the wreckage room. You couldn't try any harder. You couldn't wait for me. You couldn't dig any deeper. You couldn't rescue me. Oh, time.
Will heal me.
Oh, time. Oh, time.
Will heal me.
Oh, time. Oh, time.
Wreckage Room from the new Jameela Woods album, Water Made Us. It's her third album, her follow-up to Legacy Legacy, her first in 4 years. And she's with us on Shiro's. I'm Carmel Holt. Before we were going into the song, we were talking about how much you shared with everyone during the process in making this. Is it fair to say that this album might be the most collective in that way of bringing everyone in?
Yeah, I definitely think so. There was a point like maybe around the mixing where it just became so apparent, like, it's a lot of cooks in here. But it was good because I've never experienced that. I usually work very like just me and one other person. And there was a lot of that too. But I think I appreciated the feeling of like big team effort and like navigating like, okay, how do we combine our tastes or what we're hearing? And that was like definitely a growth process and so valuable. And also just getting to know LA and getting to know musicians in LA. I really feel like I made this album in two cities in a way that I haven't before.
Right, because the last two you made at home, right? In Chicago?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wow. And what a cool dichotomy. I mean, I just think about also your Libra nature, like that balance of, again, at the personal being universal and the universal being personal and like this being your most personal and vulnerable album, but yet being the most open to having the maximum people bringing them in and making that a communal community space. That's beautiful.
That's so cool. I hadn't even thought of it like that. I love that.
You know, you're really being held in some ways by those collaborators, those friends, the family, some of your mentors to kind of like make it safe.
Yes. I love that.
What do you think that you have learned through this process now that it's in the rear view, it's a thing? Any reflections thus far?
Yes, I think one of the things I learned and that I'm still learning is surrender and just releasing control over many things, over time that things might take or over the way that things might be perceived. Or I really felt, I don't know if it's because I am naturally a more introverted person or maybe it's my like Mercury in Virgo, just wanting things to be certain way, like the way that I describe myself, that I think the process of releasing work on a larger scale, I have had lots of bouts of anxiety around it. And I think that it's felt really nice to be closer to a space where I'm like, well, that's what it is. And I like whatever, it's meant to be what it is. And it's going to teach me something. Like if I got something a little wrong that I said, it's just going to give me some information for how I want to do something different in the future. And it's just releasing pressure on myself to like get everything perfect all the time. So this has definitely taught me a lot about that. And I think like I've spoken about a bit around like making the cover for the album, which was shot underwater. I had all my vision boards, you know, all my plans. And I really appreciated that the photographer who I worked with, I'd heard her say before, like, you know, underwater, you can do that. You can vision and plan all you want, but ultimately we're underwater. So like, you don't know how long you're gonna be able to hold your breath. These props we got, they might start melting, floating away. Like we just gotta go with it. And I think I've kept that with me since. Like, you know, my whole press cycle was during a retrograde. It's like, cool. Like, let's go with it. Like, you know, like, I don't know what's gonna happen next. Like, I'm open. And I think I appreciate that about this process, that I think it's made me a little bit more relaxed, a little bit more present and open to what's next without needing to worry so much.
It's also been interesting to watch your progression in terms of visually where you as an artist have gone. I'm always very curious to talk about this with my guests on this show in this space, because as femme people, there's so much that goes on internally and externally. Mm. How much, how little, how, in what way, what is beauty,
how,
the marketing of things, like kind of the grosser parts of the industry that always come in again, external and internal. Yeah. So speaking of your visuals, like, what do you think about that journey for you, where you are now? What's changed?
Yes, that is such a great question. I was just reflecting the other day, like kind of what you're saying, like how important it is that I've been lucky enough to gather such a team around me, because I was very spent. Like I turned in the album in March and then instantly it's like, okay, let's get the videos done. And I was like, I can't think of a lyric, like nothing is in my brain. And my friend, who's my stylist and creative director, Angela, she sent me this deck. She was like, I love Tiny Garden. I see so much. And she sent me this deck and it like reinvigorated me. And, you know, I always wanted to direct that particular video because I had this idea of dancing in it. And like, I used to dance African dance when I was younger. And I just felt like almost like my inner child had this vision for the video. And so with Angela, kind of like worked on building that out. And that was my first time directing totally on my own. Yes. And it was so hard and so rewarding at the same time. It's like, essentially directing is like seeing the future and like trying to communicate that to everyone around you. So it was a really cool process. And I love that movement was a part of it. My friend Po Chop, who's a burlesque artist here in Chicago, coached me on the movement, and we came into rehearsal and I thought she was going to like choreograph a dance and teach it to me. She's like, no, like do what you would do. Like, let's just see what you would do. And then we shaped things that would come to me into the movements, and the whole way through, it was like really felt held and like also pushed by the people around me. And similar with Boomerang, that was directed by my close friends, Vince and Jordan of VAM, who've done most of my videos. And they had this concept that's very ambitious, to shoot the video entirely in reverse. So like lip syncing in reverse, dancing in reverse, learning the choreography, learning it backwards. So Po Chop also helped me with that. And there was this moment, like when we were editing the video, where I was just like, so much was going on at the same time. Like I was, you know, doing all this stuff while I was trying to learn the lyrics and backwards and everything. And so I felt like I didn't do as good as I wanted. And I could feel myself almost wanting to be like, I don't know if I can put this out because it's not perfect. It's not what I saw in my head. And just them being like, no, like this is great. Like just being able to look at it through their eyes, because I could really see how, again, that wanting to control, wanting everything to be just right, just exactly how it was in my head, was kind of actually limiting me and limiting my capacity to, you know, grow and try something new and experiment and play. And so, yeah, I feel like the visuals have been, and there's still more that we're planning. And I'm just thinking about how to incorporate movement in all of them and really embody these songs in a way that I feel like I haven't fully been able to do before.
That's amazing. And do you feel any sense of increased confidence or freedom in terms of how you present? Any change that has evolved over the years and where you are now? I mean, I think about somebody like Billie Eilish, who, you know, very intentionally like wears baggy clothes and, you know, was like very self-protected. And that's something that I've heard from a lot of women that when they first start out and there's this kind of push-pull, but it's like, no, but I want to like show my curves. I love my body. I want to, you know, be sensual. I want to be sexual. So I was curious about that for you too. Like, has that evolved? Has that changed? And are you feeling a sense of freedom and confidence now?
Yeah, I definitely feel a different sense of freedom. In part, I think because up until this album, I was also working full time for the most part at, you know, nonprofit, Young Chicago Authors, teaching, working with young people, very much a part of my process, not like a siloed off thing that I would do. And I think it's kind of just ingrained in me, maybe being an oldest sibling, like people are looking at me like, you know, like it's not super conscious, but it's like, you know, I'm going to be teaching this song that I write like in my class, you know, stuff like that. And I took a step back at the beginning of 2020 because I was going on tour and I was like, you know, I'm just going to focus on touring, fully dive into music. And then it's a pandemic. So it's like, all right, I kind of released this identity in this way for this time. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of let me just look at myself for me and think about what I want to write without having that sort of like gaze in the back of my mind. And so I think that did allow me to be a bit more open in a certain way. And I think in the videos too, like, I think I would think of videos almost needing to be like, how can I best represent this song? Like, this is the only possible video that could be made for this song, as opposed to like letting my brain be a little bit more free. Like, how can I exquisite corpse this? Like, Boomerang, what does that make me think of? Kind of just go crazy with it. And I think that letting other people in more to my process, because I joke with Vince and Jordan all the time. I'm like, yeah, other people have directed my videos, but I've been there like over their shoulder the whole time. Like, okay, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? And I kind of, with this one, just kind of let people run with the ideas that they had. And so I didn't fully see it in my mind. I trusted what they saw. And so that's been a really cool experience too, that I think has also, you know, I wouldn't have seen myself in a burlesque outfit, but my friends, Vince and Jordan, saw me that way. And I love how they see me. And I love getting to embody that, because that is me as well. So it's been exciting.
I love that idea too, that once you find your team, your trusted collaborators on the visual side too, how exciting that can be. Like, you know, you've heard this so many times. We've all heard this about how like people mirror you, you know, how cool to be able to see your mirror reflection through somebody's eyes in that way, somebody that you really trust and then sharing that out. That is so cool. Let's play another song. Maybe do you want to play something that has a visual that goes with it?
Yeah, we can play Boomerang, which is the one shot in reverse. My first time also working with a songwriter, Neo, was co-writing this song with me, which was incredible. That's something I've always wanted to do, is I've songwritten for other people, but I've never, you know, had a songwriter help me with my project. And it was a really cool experience working with Grades and George Moore in London. So again, just like broadening the scope.
I'm giving you it all or nothing at all. I'm waiting for your call and hoping you fall for me. Trying to keep my head out the way. I make room in my heart. I'm hoping you stay, hoping you wait. I'm asking for your patience. You need an affirmation. And I'm breaking my own rules. Find a way so I don't lose you. I think you really wanna dance with me. How could you really wanna dance with me? Do you really wanna dance? Should I be
playing track 13 on Jamila Woods' new album, Water Made Us. She's our guest on Shiro's, and I'm Carmel Holt. And I could keep talking to you forever, and I appreciate that we've gotten through this self-help hour together and worked in plenty of astro info, too. Anyone out there that wants to book their appointments, just let us know.
No.
I'm just kidding. Speaking of witchiness, before we close the hour, I always do an exercise called the Shiro's Magic Wand. Mm. First wave of the wand, what would you change in music, in the music industry, for AFAB people, queer folks, non-binary folks? What would you change in the music biz for us?
Mm. The first thing that comes to my mind is just the demographics, just like when you walk into a space, seeing people who look like you, which I think also relates to probably education and access to certain materials. But it makes me think of this time. It was actually in Japan randomly, but the show I did there, the sound person, the lighting person, all of the people working that day were femme people. And I just felt like I was in an alternate universe. And it was wild how much it affected my day, just the level of comfort, asking for exactly what I wanted without worrying how that would be perceived or that I wouldn't be shrugged off or condescended to, just those types of things. Yeah, so I would wish that. There was a festival that was going to be in Chicago that unfortunately it didn't work out, but it was called Versa Festival, and it was going to have all femme people from the security guards to the performers, femme and trans women performing and everywhere vending. So that's also a dream, like to create a space like that or be a part of a space like that one day.
Let's pick a track to go out with.
I think I would choose Head First. That's the ending song. And me and Wynn, the producer, we call it our baby because it's like one of the earlier songs that we made. And we were like, oh, we're really on to something. It feels kind of like a thesis track in a way.
With thanks once again to Jamila Woods. Thank you for being with us on Shiro's. Congratulations on Water Made Us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening.
Many thanks once again to Jamila Woods for being with us. Her third album, Water Made Us, is out now on Jag Jaguar. Shiro's is produced by me, is mixed and mastered by Kelly Drake. Our original theme music is by Lucius. Shiro's is also a nationally syndicated radio show. You can visit shirosradio.com to find out more and support our work with Patreon or merch from the Shiro's shop. Keep in touch on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Carmel Holt, or find us at Shiro's Radio. And please consider leaving us a rating and review wherever you listen to your podcast. That helps us grow and bring you more Shiro's. Until next time, remember, music is our superpower. I'm Carmel Holt. Thanks for listening.